Often we set up a divide between different categories of knowledge and understanding, and today the idea is that we want to converse across these barriers. So we're going to be using some very specific knowledge, but bringing it into play with problems that are emotional, political, tricky, intransigent. So we're looking to what happens in the bird world as a mirror, but also as a resource for us as humans.
Why is it that when one feels depressed or down, the time seems to slow down? And on the opposite end of the spectrum, when one is feeling happy and enthused about the world, everything seems to speed up and is more colourful?
It's a great question. Is there a sense that birds even conceive of time differently from us, or within a species are there perhaps different concepts of time?
Well, raptors, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they live life faster than we do, much faster than we do. And that means that everything that happens in front of them happens much slower. So when you see a hobby zoom down and grab a dragonfly out of the air, you think, how on earth could it do that? And the reason is the world is moving slower for it. It's faster. So, you know, it can just put a foot out and sort of just shoot from the air. So the phenomenal time of different kind of creatures is extremely various.
Right, now, I was thinking really about things like hummingbirds. Mm. I mean, falcons are one thing, but hummingbirds, I've just come back from Ecuador, and hummingbirds are just zipping through the vegetation, and they could only do that if things move more slowly for them, you know, without crashing into things. Mm. But I also think that birds do have this same sense of positiveness and negativeness. Mm-hmm. There's some clever psychologists at Newcastle University done these clever experiments where you can give birds a series of bad luck events in terms of foraging. And that really does affect what their expectations then are. So, you know, we never really think about birds as having those kind of emotions, but it's very clear if you do the right biologically realistic experiment, you can demonstrate that they have very similar feelings to us in terms of whether something's positive or negative.
You're saying about time being slow when you're depressed and fast when you're happy, or vice versa with hummingbirds, because, you know, when they go into torpor, when it's cold at night, a lot of them will go into just to this state of almost total hibernation, you know, just for the night to get through it.
They can drop their body temperature to about 5 degrees, and it's an energy saving strategy. And lots of other small birds, including some that occur in Britain, do something similar, not quite as extreme. Hummingbirds are the most extreme, but it's a clever way of surviving the night without burning up too much fuel, you know, in order to stay at your 40 degrees, which is the bird's body temperature, all night, you'd have to have, you know, this much fat if you were a hummingbird, and they clearly don't. So the way you get around that is to just drop your body temperature and go into torpor.
A bit like going under the duvet when you're having a really bad day.
I also think they seem to have time for play as well. When I see choughs flying, when you look at them, there is no way they're doing anything other than playing and wheeling around. And when there's a wind and you're trying to walk somewhere and you can't get anywhere, and you see these incredible aeronautical displays from these masters of the skies.
Or ravens going down there, going down snowy slopes on their backs. I don't know if you've seen that. I mean, just extraordinary. It's absolutely YouTube.
Exactly. And you just think, this is nothing other, surely, than some sort of extracurricular fun activity.
I think to some extent that our perception of bird behaviour was shaped very strongly by Nico Tinbergen, who won the Nobel Prize along with von Frisch and Konrad Lorenz, in terms of defining what animal behaviour was. But by defining it, they kind of also set some rather rigid boundaries, like you're not going to study emotions because that's too difficult, too subjective. Suddenly, people go, birds have got personalities. Wow, isn't that amazing? Anyone that had a dog for the last 5,000 years knew that animals had personalities, but it was blanked out because it wasn't kosher.
Scientific, I remember reading a paper, scientific paper about dogs about 10 years ago, and it was like, dogs recognise their owners.
Probably more owners that don't recognise their dogs.
It's more just true.
It's a lovely book by Vinciane Desprez, who's a philosopher of science, I think, and it's called What Would Animals Say If We Asked Them the Right Questions? And it's basically trying to look around the edges of that historical scientific narrowing of how we perceive animals as, you know, there being a massive gulf between humans and other species. And to research studies on Arabian babbler birds, and there was one Israeli scientist who had habituated the birds to his presence and was feeding them tiny little tidbits. He got a theory around their altruistic behaviour, which was different from the standard, you know, genetic model where they must be related to the breeding pair. And so they've got this genetic investment in the chick's survival. Whereas he sort of had a more intimate relationship with them and saw them competing to be altruistic. So basically they gained status within their community by being the one to help feed the breeding
pair. The snake is a great one as well. I mean, they'd sort of, the males would compete to see who could get closest to the snake, and all the females are like, oh.
Impressive.
Yeah. He's really brave. He's an idiot.
Maybe particularly with, I was thinking about the kingfisher and those birds that really occupy different behaviour in terms of their, perhaps their conception of time. Birds that will just sit for a really, really, really long time and wait.
Herons.
But when they do act, it's split second.
Yeah. Mm.
So that really extreme sense of time. And maybe it's necessary to have a relative conception of both. Mm. You can't understand the sadness unless you understand the happiness. You can't understand the fast time unless you understand the slow time.
And also, like, you know, one of the things about my goshawk that I really felt very, very, I needed at that time, because I was very, very grief-stricken, was that she lived in this eternal present. Every moment was new. Yeah. And I think that was a really great thing to sort of think about in terms of one's own mental health.
And you learnt that from
I learned that from a goshawk,
Great.